Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. So we appreciate everybody that's joining us, coming into your living room or wherever you're going to be watching, maybe 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. Thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Let's just worship just a little bit more. We worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. You are loved. You are loved, Jesus. You're loved, Lord. You're loved, Holy Spirit. We can do nothing, nothing without you. We worship you, Father. Lord, introduce your grace. Take us to the next level. Prepare us for the fullness of this outcoming, or outflow of your Spirit, this outpouring. Jesus, bless you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a prophecy in the back. I'm not going to read it, but it's freedom from strongholds, and it was king this past Sunday. It's a short two-paragraph prophecy, but it's always good if it's from the Lord. Hallelujah. Just going to take another little step tonight, as we always do in God's instruction for us. And one of the things that Gary said when he was here with us on that Sunday is that the mechanics of going forward in this year would be continued to be taught by your pastor, and how the Lord would, you know, direct things. And he introduced some things, and actually, we're going to say some things that reiterates some of the things that Gary said as far as in the seeing and the saying a part of his message on that particular Sunday. And I'll say this again because it's in my notes if I follow them like I should. But when Gary was here with us on the first Sunday of this year, it was really the first message, or the first message might have been that Wednesday night, but the first given Sunday message was not only a teaching, but it was also, for me, prophetic in the sense that it was laying the discourse for all of us in our next step and what God was saying. If you listen to what God is saying, he is always ahead of us, leading us. And some of the things that I'll say tonight may seem elementary to all of us who are students of the Word and have heard some of these things time and time again, but they're a reiteration of the truth and some of the things that we need to continue to remind ourselves of. And it's also something that God is saying for us as a church that we need to underscore. And it's an old truth, but it needs to be a new truth to us all the time. And we're talking about taking dominion, always in a place of taking dominion. So we're going to read some scripture out of turn there, Genesis chapter 1, if you want to look at that. That this is God introducing himself. It's not just a reaccount. You know, Genesis is the book of beginnings, but it's not just a reaccount of creation or the beginning. It's also to be seen as God introducing himself. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. And it's interesting how he starts out. I mean, obviously, he was before man. But for man to go back, and the first thing that God says about himself is said through creation. So we see who he is and what he's about from the very beginning of creation. So it's almost like God says, hello, hello, I'm God, and this is who I am. So we're going to talk about creation for a moment, but really it's an introduction saying, this is the first thing I'd really like for you to know about me. As a creator. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now this is where we want to key in on these next several verses, because we want to continue to reiterate this. And God said, and God said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and it divided the waters from the waters. And verse 9, once again, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So already in his introduction, we're seeing that he likes to say. He likes to continue as we look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, you can help me out. And God said, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Verse 20, and God said, thank you, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 24, and God said, thank you, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Well, the first creep that we see was in chapter 3. So it's just a couple chapters over, and we see it, the creeping, the worst creeping creature of all. So what we have been hearing in our midst recently, and this is from the Holy Spirit, we heard it on that first Sunday about seeing and saying, and I can't go into all that teaching. It was excellent teaching, and if you've been following some of the teachings that Gary, the recent teachings, it's again a lot of the seeing and saying, seeing something, seeing it inwardly, imagining it, and then speaking it according to God's will for your life and according to the Word of God. So we've been seeing and saying, or we've been hearing that message as of recent. So as I said, the first Sunday, it was amazing. I like to listen, and I like to think, okay, God, why are you giving us this? So are we online? Okay, because when they start, when Marty's listening to something back there and Harry's headed back, and I'm thinking, oh, God, we're offline. So we're online. God bless you. So the first Sunday, God is speaking to us. He is telling us something to look forward to and to reiterate in this year. So when we just read those things and you repeated over and over, and God said, we see that God said, but do we believe that God also saw? He saw. Did he see before he said? That's a simple question. And I think that's an obvious, it was in his heart, it was in his mind, it was in all that God is, and he saw it, and then he said it, okay? These are simple questions, they're not trick questions, it's based on everything that we've been teaching and everything that we've been hearing and what the Holy Spirit has said starting from 4 years ago when the Holy Spirit began to introduced to us the blueprint prophecies. Based on what we just saw in Genesis, did God see the end result? Or did God say the end result? Yes. Thank you. You're great class. I hope the class that's watching is as smart as the one in house. did God show his dominion through seeing and saying?
Yes,
absolutely. So verse 27 says this. Look at that. So once again, or maybe we hadn't read it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have, everybody say it with me,
dominion.
Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. The word dominion is the word rada. Rada. Can you say it? Rada. Okay, so now we're all speaking Hebrew. That's great. So the word rada means this. It means to subjugate, tread down, that is to subjugate, specifically to crumble off, come to make, to have dominion, prevail against, to reign, to bear, make, to rule, or rule over. When God said, I'm giving you this dominion, a lot of times that we think of that as, okay, he was giving him dominion over he said, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that moveth upon the earth. But he says, over everything that moveth upon the earth. This in itself, that commission right there was enough for Adam to meet what he was about to meet in chapter 3. That in itself, that delegation of authority, that giving to him of, that's where his authority came into, where God gave Adam the authority over all the earth and over everything that could possibly come on the earth or that would move on the earth. So that in itself, there was no excuse for his fall. We know that. I know that if you met Adam today, you would say, no, there was no excuse. But not only was he created spiritually alive, but he also was endowed with dominion. So the God of dominion, so the creation, we can say God was creating, but also we see by the word itself that God, in essence, saw the end result, and he spoke the end result, and he created out of his imagination what he saw. How many would agree that God saw all of it before he created it? I mean, he spoke it in. Then he takes and turns and he says, okay, this dominion I'm giving to you, Adam. And so it was more than enough because he knew that God knew just in a very short time he was going to run into the serpent. He knew he was going to run into the adversary. Now, that's the first Adam. And let's talk about the last Adam. Always remember this. When you talk about and you have any reference to Jesus being Adam, always try to remind yourself that he is not the second Adam. He is the last Adam. And I heard some preachers that really were using it in context, but they didn't think about what they were saying because he is the very last Adam. He's not the second one. He's the last one. Because that, if you said he's the second one, then it could give the connotation there could be a third or more. But he's the last. The last Adam is referred to, and you don't have to turn here. We've got other scripture you can turn to in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Jesus introduces, as God introduced himself to humanity through a creative authority, we find that Jesus also introduces himself in Luke chapter 4. And why don't you turn over there so you can see it in your Bible or your smart device. Some of you still have some pages turning, which is great. At least I can hear that on the front row. My wife is doing that. That's good. Hallelujah. So this is where Jesus really introduces himself in his first sermon. We know that he's been on the planet for 30 years. He's already been baptized by John in Jordan. He goes out into the wilderness. Now, this is his immediate return from the wilderness. This is as soon as he gets done, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, goes into the wilderness to meet, his adversary. It was as if the same commission that was given to the first Adam was given to the last Adam. And so the last Adam goes out to, he goes into chapter 3, if you could say. He's going to meet the serpent. And he does a much better job with the serpent. Because as he meets him, and I don't have those three temptations, but there was, like Pastor Dave says, those are only a brief synopsis of all of the magnitude of everything that Jesus went through. But everything that he said was, or everything that he did to turn those was what? It is written, or God has said. God has said. God introduced himself in Genesis by being a saying God, right? So the Father planned it all, but the second member of, this is really neat. The second member of the Godhead, you'd say, is the one that was speaking the word, everything into existence. But here, human, so deities in flesh, but deities not working out of its authority. It's all the born of God, human, Jesus, that's standing there and saying, I don't even know if he had this thought, but all I can say is this. I say it like this. This is probably not the best way to say it, but it's the only way I can say it right now. Is somehow he made a deal with himself before he ever left heaven and said, as long as I'm down there, I'll never, in my created body, and his body was created, his deity obviously was not created, and his human spirit was breathed in, sent from heaven, just like Adam's spirit was breathed into his. But he made a deal in his deity. I'll never act out of my deity to perform any miracle or to resist Satan in his onslaught, so that I become the prototype on planet Earth through my word for all generations to say, if he did it, I can do it too. If he did it in his humanity, that I can do it too. So, I mean, he could have reverted and said, I'm the word. I'm the one that created these rocks. Don't tell me anything, Satan. But praise God, he refrained for us. So, but when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, he's going to tell us what he's about. He's going to tell us about his dominion. And then later, before he leaves the planet, he's going to give us that same dominion that he had. So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. This is the first sermon he ever preaches. This is before the Beatitudes. This is before the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus in Nazareth, and he came to Nazareth. That's where he was raised, of course, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Now here he's about to tell everybody what he's about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And we're not even going to try to break all this down, but he's talking dominion here. He's talking dominion. This is not a passive state. This is dominion. The new sheriff is in town. The new sheriff is in town, and he's standing up, and what he's about to proclaim is, look, the scribes, Pharisees, and the priest have done an horrible job, but I'm here now. And the new sheriff is in town, and this is what God looks like, and this is what my ministry is going to look like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable or the year of Jubilee of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, the attending minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And you know, he's sitting there, and they're like, everybody is looking. And he's like, yep, that's right. Uh-huh. That's exactly right. And he said, and he began to say this as they're looking like, no, you didn't just say that. Said, yep. And this right now, today, this has been, he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's not coming. It is right now. That authority is here and it's on me. And hallelujah. Jesus is seeing and saying for sure. Jesus was saying what he was seeing. He was saying that there is a new sheriff in town. And as I said, the scribes and Pharisees and priests, in essence, he was saying they have done a terrible job, but it's over. So the cornerstone of Jesus's, one of the cornerstones of Jesus's teachings is, we often refer to Mark 11, 23 and 24, but let's go to Mark 11, 22 and follow along with me for just a moment. Because there's so much, if you looked at this particular scripture, you would get the idea that there is the word saying here, but you'd have to get the idea that you would have to have an imagination to see the things desired. And again, I'm telling you, like I told you from the beginning, that a lot of this is teeing off of some of the things that Gary had said, but I believe they're prophetic. And if there's anything that I want to get across to you tonight, is if it's old school, it's old school. But here's the thing. There's something that we need to know about going into this year, that we need to be more faithful than ever before to our confessions. And not just, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but get married to them like never before. Get married to them like never before, to the extent that if somebody followed you, they'd think you were some kind of heretic or something. Because we're creating. God's a creator. We're creating. Let's look at Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, we broke down, you know, it's fun to look at that say and saith, and they're two different words. And it's fun to look at. One is to set in discourse. One's actually just to say it. But one is to say it with a faith of, it's the word L-E-G-O, Lego or Lego, and one E-P-O, Epo. And I can't remember which is which, but one's like, just said it with your mouth. And the other one's to say it with an expectation. It's a bit expectation, like I'm creating something. As soon as I said this, it's set in like some kind of discourse. It's going out there, and angels are grabbing hold of it. Holy Spirit's grabbing hold of it. And they're like, he's believing. She's believing. They're setting into discourse. So again, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire, everybody say desire. Desire. When you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. The word desire is epitheo, T-O. It means to ask, to beg, call for. I like this part. I like this word, this description of it even. It's my favorite part of it. It's to crave. To crave something. You know, you can't crave something unless you're imagining it. I mean, you have a craving, a desire, or a require. Now, this is something we need to really get under our belt in 2025, not to be reactive only, but also to be proactive. You know, Jesus, when he was assaulted in the wilderness, he was assaulted. A terrorist came at him, which was Satan. And he reacted to that, and you should. That's the shield of faith. You're supposed to say something back. Yeah, you can't think something back. You're supposed to say something back. So Jesus didn't think something back. He said something back. It's amazing how our word, that Jesus underscores how important it is to say something. Okay. So he was assaulted, but he was reactive to that, but that's the shield of faith. Now, the sword of the Spirit it's proactive. It's speaking God's word. And there's a whole lot of teachings here that you could just teach, you know, for ages on any one of these given things. But the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, going 10 and following, on all that we are endowed with, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word is the rhema word. It's the present tense word of God for the moment. Okay, it's the mind of Christ for the moment. When I'm assaulted, I get assaulted often. If you're not assaulted by Satan, if he doesn't come at you, he does, but you sometimes don't recognize that. You think that's your own emotions, and sometimes it could be. But if you're really pressing in, he's oftentimes trying to throw you off track. And I won't go into too much of that, but I will say this. It's so important that we have two levels in our life, and this is we're talking mostly tonight about the proactive, that you're ready for any time that he sends a flaming dart. You've got a shield to wherewith you shall be able, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the flaming darts or flaming missiles. Darts is the word missiles of the enemy. So you're this, but you're also this. You're pro, and really, the better part of our life, especially for this lesson tonight, is to be proactive. Not just reactive. Be reactive. You've got to, like, okay, you're going to pick on me? You picked on the wrong person. Because I'm not going to sit here and think about what you said to me, devil, not person, or how that you came against my body or emotions. Don't take anything on the chin. Don't take anything like, okay, wow, that hurt, but I'm tough. No, punch back. But your punch back is to speak the word of God, and it's a shield of faith. So these are questions to get us to think about what we're being taught tonight. When has your body heard from you lately? Okay. When has your body, what are you talking about? When is my body? When has your physical body that you need changed in certain areas, when has it heard from you lately? Good. Perfect. Somebody said today. It's awesome. You hear from your body often. All of us hear from our bodies. But when has your body heard from you? That's the important part. Your body needs to hear from you. Well, I am my body. No. You live in your body. You live in your body, but you're not your body. You're in your body. The real self is your spirit person that really is supposed to be living in a place of taking dominion over everything. It's supposed to be being proactive. So when's the last, just questions right now. When was the last memo your body got from you? You should be sending it memos all day long. Okay. When's the last? Are you serious? No, you should be speaking to it. Hallelujah. Just everybody say, when was, I want you to get this, the last memo I sent to my body. Okay. Does your body hear from you several times a day? Good. Some are saying yes. It needs to be hearing from you several times a day with things that you're speaking based on the Word of God. It needs to hear from you. Your body, here's the proactive. It needs to hear from you. Your body needs to hear from you when it's behaving. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. We want to talk to our body when it's not behaving. And somebody said, I don't have one of those bodies. It's always, I'm under some kind of duress. Well, everybody gets some kind of little glimmer of, I feel good right now. I'm not preaching at you. You need, when your body is behaving, you need to be speaking to it and creating a life of health. It needs to hear from you when it's behaving. When's the last time your finances heard from you? Hey, finances, I'm speaking to you. Somebody said, well, I mean, I didn't hear somebody say it, but somebody thought it. My finances are fine. You need to be speaking to your finances. If your finances are fine, that's wonderful. But help us finance a revival. There is no satisfied place of you being saying, I don't have to speak to my finances. Or if you've got a bunch of finances, God, show me how to get that transferred over, more of it. Hallelujah. It works. It works. I told Harry when I hired him, I said, man, if you're coming on, I got to tell you this. This is what we have to believe for. For you to get a paycheck and for me to get a paycheck, then, and for us to pay our bills at the church and have money left over, you got to help me if you're going to come on, and you got to believe for sama-sama. Okay? And I said, you can't tell anybody except your wife. And it's private. So, and I was kind of scared that he was going to go, oh my God, I can't, okay, we really have to have, you know, we're going to have to, well, hallelujah. Last year, we had more than that come in. More. And then Harry's thinking, well, can I get a raise? We're not there yet, Harry. But it works. It works. But we got to believe that it works. We got to see it and we got to say it. More questions. Are you in a creative? This is a question for all of us. Are we in a creative mode like God, or are we in a defensive, like I'm waiting for it to happen and then I'll jump in there with, are we in a creative mode like I'm creating something over here with my finances, I'm creating something over here, my body's going to be, my body's work, it's going to work better. He's the God that heals flus, but he's also the God that heals stuff that you were born with, or injuries. I've had this injury for 25, 30 years. Hallelujah. And he creates. I'm going to tell you something he's doing for me. When I tore this pectoralis major, total rupture, I could have gotten an operation, and we didn't have it, but somebody said they'd pay for it. That was awful nice. I decided I was not going to do that. I just prayed about it. It doesn't ever hurt. That part doesn't ever hurt. But this will mean nothing to you, but it means something to me. Whenever I get to start lifting heavy and get up, every time I get to let's say, around 300 pounds on my bench press. I can go up to that point, and then I can't go anymore because that major is pectoralis major that comes from your chest to your deltoid. It's not there. It's severed. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit's finger is in there, and he's creating, re-cinching. I don't think they can do it after. There was a window. You can only have it done like a month after. And then, but I've read you can. But I'm not searching to go back and see if I can. Holy Spirit is connecting that again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it means nothing to you. We don't care if you can bench 300 or 400 pounds past. The little things in your life, he cares about.
Yes.
Old standing injuries, he will heal.
Yes.
I don't have to live the rest of my life with anything that I don't want. Because I can be in, and you can be in, creative speaking into existence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your body needs to hear from you.
Yes.
It needs to hear from you. Joel's army is an attacking, consuming force. It is not a defensive force. It is an attacking force. Jesus said this when he was, saying something to Peter. He said, I say also unto thee, this is Matthew 16. You don't have to turn there, but he said this, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not, what?
Prevail
against it. That's a marching army. That's like, we're not waiting to you to come get us. We're marching, and we're like, we'll knock that down, and oh, another gate, knock that down. Hallelujah. Joel 2, you can turn there. We've turned there, we've looked at that several times before. It's good for us. Good for us to look at it. Because it's a devouring, marching army, and that's what we hear God saying to us. We are this end-time army. It's this verse, let's look at Joel 2, verse 3. We look at this army is like a fire, an all-consuming fire that leaves a scorched earth wherever it goes. And it's just painting the picture of how devouring this army is in these last days. And I want you to couple this with everything that we're saying tonight about how important our speaking, not just in when we get attacked, but our creative speaking, like I'm going past being reactive. I'm going to a place where I'm speaking into existence all the time the things that I desire. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them, it's a scorched earth. Behind them, a flame burneth, and the land is as a garden of Eden before them. And behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yes, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. I mean, it just burns up everything. A strong people set in battle array. How many are ready for this consuming?
Yes.
Glory to God. Verse 9, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in the window like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter. Here he goes. He speaks. God likes to speak. And then he likes for us to mimic him. Speak, shall utter his voice before his army, and his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Continue to comment based on some of what we're saying here tonight. You need, and when I say you, I should include we need, You need to pick fights with your problems on days when your problems aren't being problems. When they're not problems and you're like, oh God, they didn't find me today. What you want settled, don't settle out of court. Like, I feel good today and maybe my body won't pick on me. Maybe if I'm just, nobody moves, nobody dies. Let's all be still. No, jump on it. You're feeling okay today, body. Let me tell you where we're headed. Yes, yeah. Maybe this is going like this. Finances, I can breathe. Well, pick on it. Hallelujah. Angels are unemployed in many or most Christians' lives. I wrote this because I kind of saw it. Not that they do, but in my mind's eye, when I saw how employed they are, angels are unemployed in most Christians' lives. They stand in soup lines waiting for something to do based on the Word of God. Soup lines like, we're unemployed. Psalms 103:20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice. Not the word in itself. Not even the word in your heart. Not the written word that you have in your hand or you're looking at. Not even the word in your heart. They don't hearken to the word in your heart. They hearken to the voice spoken. And so these angels, I can't say, I've never talked to one of them on this issue, but I would think that some angels are like envious of other angels based on their assignment. Like, we don't ever get to do anything. The best that we can do is like protect this guy or this gal, but we're not really getting to do much at all. Hey, I want my angels to be like going and coming and going and walking by each other and high-fiving and saying, wow, where are you headed? I don't know. Man, this guy he's been speaking stuff and the Holy Spirit is like, he's got us on a, Holy Spirit's got us on assignment. We're going together some finances because we're employed, man. We're employed because we've been hearing him speak financial, miracle, God-doing stuff. And I want my angels, as Jesus said hereafter to Nathaniel, you're going to see angels in the spirit realm coming and going. Some angels are like, man, I wish I worked for them. Hallelujah. Put them to work. We need to put them to work. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them which shall be heirs of salvation? Some angels envy, I said, other angels. Now that's kind of I can't prove that by the word. I'm just saying that as a cute way to say that they like assignments. We can't wear them out. In any sense of the word. Taking dominion, again, I keep saying this, is a reactive, or it's not just reactive. Too often we react when the body says, ouch. We need to be speaking without the ouch. Okay? We need to speak even when the ouch is not there. Somebody said, I have very seldom times. Well, if you can get comfortable, keep speaking. Hallelujah. What do you want your finances to accomplish past paying your bills? If that is the only image, like I want to pay and I want to be above, our images of seeing and saying must be beyond that. And that's where we get in this creative mode. That's where dominion takes its place of authority. We want to see and say past necessity. Hallelujah. How's my mic? Says, okay. You guys, it's what? It's a little hot. I told y'all it was hot up here. We want to see and say past the sense of necessity, like just getting by. Thank you. That helps. Just getting by. If I'm learning this, I'm not a professor on this yet, but I'm learning, and this is how God's been dealing with me on my seeing and saying. If I just say, let's say for instance, okay, one of my best friends that I've known for 30 years is Homer. He's not here. He had his treatment today, and it kind of really, and he's been also fighting a little something in his body besides, and he's real private, so he doesn't like that to be said, but I'm said it. But in my seeing and saying that I often speak over him on a continual basis, I don't see him just, when I say, I speak to your eyes, Homer. Now, I don't call him and say this. I'm privately saying this. I don't see his eyes just like, see, I knew Homer really far more years when he drove his truck into my front yard and got out, his work truck. Rosie didn't have to drive him. He wasn't born that way. He lived most of his life. Now, he's got several years now but when I'm speaking now, I'm not seeing just, when I say Homer, eyes open, if you just say that and let this be an example for a multitude of things, I'm now seeing that God is saying to me, see what, when you're speaking this, is a result of that. In other words, I'm saying what I'm saying now, Homer be healed, eyes be healed, I'm seeing Homer drive up in my driveway again or walk into the church without help from Rosie. I'm seeing the end result past just the miracle, but what the miracle, what happens after the miracle. Because that's mature. If you just see the miracle and it stops there, it doesn't give a whole lot for your image to tag hold, to create. But I'm seeing, this isn't a play. This isn't play for me. This is a reality that I'm seeing his life change as a result of it. I'm seeing the old Homer, but not the old Homer. We don't want the old Homer. Huh? Yes, we do. But so I don't know what I know. When he gets the fullness, he won't go back to being a gas man again. He's got too much word, and I can tell you this: as much as he wants to go and preach, we probably won't see him much. There's results of healings and miracles. He's ready to travel. He's ready to go. You might as well get him to sign a leaf in your Bible right now, because one day he'll be very famous. You say, I knew that guy. He used to go to our church. He was a pastor at our church. Hallelujah. You've got to see the result of what you're speaking into existence. Hallelujah. Just a few more minutes. Let's read this together, because I love this. This is one of my favorite seeing and sayings. This is out of Ezekiel 37. We have to notice what happens here to Ezekiel when he prophesies. Nothing happens until he begins to say. And God catches him off guard and he asks him a question, and Ezekiel does the only honest thing to do when you can't really see something yet. He just puts it back on God and says, okay, God, it's you're going to have to help me see this. So Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, very dry. Very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, here's a good answer. Oh Lord, you know. You know, because I mean, this looks impossible. When you're looking at something that looks impossible, ask him to help put the vision in you. Lord, you know. Thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy. Okay, here's your speaking. Upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinew upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place in you your own land, place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Ezekiel essentially put the responsibility back on God to help him create the image, but God commanded him to speak even before he could see, but God helped him with his image. The Holy Spirit will labor with you and I to create both the image of the seeing and the saying for our confession. Hallelujah. I enjoyed that. Amen. Proactive. Creating. Not just when you get slapped. I'm not slapped today. Okay, I'm going to go see if I can slap something with the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand. You got 9 minutes I gave you. Glory to God. It's a gift. If I don't pray too long, you'll have 8 minutes. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we bless the people. The confession of your word is one of the great tenets of our faith. And speaking it with more of an absolute understanding in these days is something the Holy Spirit is giving us. Lord, we see where we're headed. We see the revival. We see the blind eyes opened, the deaf ears, and the multitudes coming. God bless your people. Let us be reminded every day to be very, very creative in speaking all day long to our bodies, our finances, and the coming revival that you've given us. We bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. If you have something, there's an offering basket at the door. God bless you. Thank you for all of you for coming tonight. Amen. Blessings.